welcome to the LSE. My name is Claire. I work in the undergraduate admissions team here at the LSE. In this half an hour talk, I'm going to give you a brief overview of some of the things we look for when assessing applications to the LSE, in particular focusing on academic achievements and the personal statement, really. Obviously, there's lots of you in here, and some of you may know lots already about the application process to UK universities. Others of you might just be starting out in that sort of journey of finding out about how to apply to universities. So hopefully in this talk, there should be something for everybody, regardless of what stage you might be of thinking of applying to university. Because we've got a large number of talks happening today here at the LSE, because it's an open day, after this talk I won't be able to hang around and answer individual questions, but I will be going over to the library where we've got a stand there where myself and my colleagues, all of whom work in undergraduate admissions, will be able to answer any particular questions that you have about your unique circumstances if you need anything discussed further. So if I don't cover something that you do need to find out today, then that's obviously a great place to head if you haven't been there already. And there's lots of other information about LSE in that area that will be really useful to you. So just to start off with some facts and figures then about the LSE, I'm sure you already know that we are a very competitive institution to get into. So for the year, the admission cycle just gone, the 2018 admission cycle, we received over 20,000 applications for students looking to start with us this autumn for 1,601 places. So in terms of ratio of applications to places, there are approximately 12.5 applications per place. That does vary by degree programme. So some of our programmes are more competitive than that, so we receive more, a greater number of applications per place. And some of them are less competitive than that, so slightly fewer applications per place. If you want to find out specific details for a course or program that you're interested in, you can find that in the undergraduate prospectus or online, how many people applied and how many people got offers and how many places there were for particular courses, if that's of interest to you. We receive applications from students all around the world, so we get a large number from students who would class as home UK, so live and study in the UK, but we also get applications from students in Europe, in the EU, and also overseas. So hopefully in this talk we're going to cover information that's relevant for everybody. We make approximately 2 offers for every place that we have, because we know that sometimes students will choose to go elsewhere, so they'll make another university their firm choice, or perhaps sometimes students will select the LSE as their firm choice but then fail to get the grades on receiving their examination results. So we do make slightly more offers than we have places for that reason. So we are a competitive institution then. We can't make offers to absolutely everybody who applies to us. So what are we looking for then in terms of applicants? We're obviously an academic institution, so we're looking for applicants who show or can demonstrate the best academic merit and potential for study here at the LSE. We're also looking for applicants who show suitability for the course that they're applying for, and those who can demonstrate enthusiasm and engagement with the subject that they want to study at degree level. And I'll go through these bits of information in turn. But one thing to really note at the LSE is that we make all of our decisions based on the information provided to us on the UCAS form, and for one course as well, there is additional testing. We don't do any interviews, so it is really important that everything that's relevant to the student is supplied via the UCAS form. In the UCAS form, there'll be details on your academic performance, so achieved and predicted grades, the contextual information, so the context in which that achievement was made. You'll obviously have a reference from a teacher usually, and then your personal statement. So those are the 4 bits of information that we're really focusing on when we look at applications and that we're going to talk about today. At the LSE, we have a holistic admissions selection process, so we look at every single bit of information along with everything else. There's not one bit of information that's more or less important, and we make a decision holistically using all the information that we have available to us. Okay, so starting off with academic performance then, what are we looking for? The vast majority of students apply to us with either A-levels or the International Baccalaureate, and our programmes range in terms of our entry requirements. For A-levels, different programmes range from A-star AA to AAB, and sometimes they require a fourth subject at AS level. And for the IB, we're looking for 37 to 38 points, and at higher levels, 766 or 666. That doesn't mean that if you haven't studied A-levels or the IB that you can't apply to us. That's certainly not the case. We accept a wide range of other qualifications, either qualifications which are studied in the UK, like the Pre-U or BTECs, or we consider a very wide range of overseas and European qualifications, far too many for me to list here. If you are studying something that isn't listed here and you have any particular questions on it or the entry requirements, do come and see us in the library today and we can go through what you would need for the particular programme you're interested in. Most people apply with predicted grades. That's very normal, typical. So most people are applying with predicted grades from their teachers or in their school, which give us an indication of likely performance. So you obviously don't need to wait until after you've got your grades to apply. There are some additional academic requirements that we ask for as well. So for students who are classed as home UK, so generally those that live and have studied in the UK, we have minimum requirements for GCSE English language and maths. We ask for a minimum grade, regardless of the course, of a grade 5 or a B if it's taken prior to 2016. Obviously, do note, though, that some programmes have higher requirements, especially for mathematics. So some of our programmes have higher GCSE or they require maths at an A-level or equivalent. So that's one thing to note. And for those students who are international or European, we ask for an indication of your a qualification to indicate your English language proficiency, because obviously we're going to teach you and you're going to be assessed in English, so we want to make sure that your language skills are adequate for that. There's a whole range of qualifications that you can use for English language. A few of them are listed there. IELTS and GCSEs, they're quite common, but there's a whole range. Again, if you're unsure about what English language qualification you might need, do come and ask us. Just to highlight some of the new programmes that we're starting in 2019, so we're constantly looking at the programmes that we offer, and we have four new programmes here that you might want to find out some more information about today. Their entry requirements are listed there, but obviously you can go to the subject talks, you can come and speak to us in the library if you want any more information about the programmes or what the requirements are for those courses or any of the programmes that we offer here at the LSE. Also, it's worth noting, you may have noticed already if you're interested in social policy, but from 2019 onwards, the content of those courses will be the same, but we've changed the title from social policy to international social and public policy, just to give a better reflection of what students will be studying on those programmes. Okay, so once you're maybe confident that you're likely to be predicted the grades or you've achieved the grades that we asked for, you might then start thinking about whether you've got the right combination of subjects to study here at the LSE. We have a list that you can see on our website or in our prospectus of generally preferred and non-preferred subjects. So typically the preferred subjects are the more traditional academic subjects that tend to be examined tend to be assessed via examination rather than by coursework and things like that. That's not to say that you have to study all your subjects need to be preferred, but we do ask for instance, if you're doing A-levels, that 2 out of 3 subjects come from the preferred list. And again, if you've got any questions about the subjects that you're studying and whether they're preferred or non-preferred, you can definitely ask us in the library or email us afterwards. There then is some specific information that you might want to look at in regards to the course that you're interested in and the subjects. So for some of them I've mentioned already, there might be an additional subject requirement. So for instance, if you're interested in studying economics here at the LSE, you hopefully know already that you are required to have an A-level or equivalent qualification in mathematics. So you would need to have that qualification to be offered a place. Or for our new psychological and behavioural science course, we ask that applicants have a science-related subject. So again, look on our website, look in the prospectus, or come and speak to us just to make sure that you're studying the right subjects. We also exclude a number of subjects from our offers, so things like general studies, critical thinking and global perspectives. While we recognise that these give you lots of great skills and are really useful in developing you and making you ready for A-level study, we don't use these subjects as part of your offer. So you would need to make sure that you had three A-level subjects, for example, on top of those if you were offering one of those qualifications. Lots of applicants to us offer language qualifications, and it's just worth noting that we sometimes exclude language qualifications from an offer if it's clear that the language that the candidate has had significant prior exposure of the language that they're taking the qualification in. So for instance, if you lived in France, you were French and you were studying for a French A level, we would most likely exclude that from the offer, and we would expect that you studied three other subjects, as we would feel that that gave you a significant advantage in gaining a good grade in that subject. Again, if you're not sure about whether that would affect you, come and speak to us, but we may also exclude languages where it's the mother tongue or the home language, even if you are being educated in the UK. So that's just worth checking. We sometimes exclude subjects which we feel are too overlapping. So if somebody was offering English language A-level, English literature A-level, and one other subject, we might feel that that was, they're too overlapping to be sufficiently difficult. So that's worth bearing in mind. And for some programmes, we are aware of narrow combinations where subject content might be repeated by two qualifications. So for instance, the combination of economics A-level and business studies A-level, for some of our programmes, we feel that there is overlapping content there, so it doesn't, studying those two A-levels together with just one other wouldn't be broad enough to convince us of the academic ability of the candidate. And lastly, and perhaps this is the one that's most relevant to a lot of our applicants at the LSE, regards maths and further maths. So for some of our programmes, the combination of maths, further maths and one other subject is exactly what we're looking for and is a really competitive subject combination. And for others, it's neutral, has no effect. And for others, it's seen as less competitive. Again, that information is online or in the prospectus, or come and speak to us if you think that that's the subject combination that you're offering and you want to double check. Just to update anyone who's interested in applying for economics, from 2019 onwards, we are now accepting the subject combination of maths, further maths and one other subject, whereas previously we only accepted further maths as an additional or as a fourth subject. So hopefully this will make it a lot more straightforward for a number of our applicants. The only course where we offer or where we require additional testing for all applicants at the moment is our law programme, where we ask for the candidates to sit the LNAT test. So this is only for candidates who want to study law. For anyone applying for 2019 entry or deferring their entry for 2020. The LNAT is an aptitude test for law that assesses your suitability for demonstrating the skills and qualities which are needed in a law degree. As well as applying through UCAS, you also need to take the LNAT test between the 1st of September and the 20th of January 2019 if you want to be considered for 2019 entry or deferred 2020 entry. You take them in Pearson test centres, and they are in the UK or worldwide if you want to do the LNAT. There are two parts to the test, very briefly, a multiple choice section and an essay writing section. It's worth noting that lots of universities with law programmes ask that students do the LNAT test. At the LSE, because this is the first year that we're using it to make our admissions decisions, we're only going to be basing our decisions this first year on the multiple choice test, although if you're applying to other places that do that require the LNAT, then you may need to do the essay for other institutions. There's no minimum score, so we look at everything holistically. So your LNAP score along with your personal statement and your predicted grades, etc. For more information, do look at the LNAP website because they've got a lot more on there. But one thing to note is that it measures your aptitude test. It's not a general knowledge test. So do be wary of any organisations or companies offering to tutor people in the LNAT. It shouldn't be necessary. Obviously, you can download practice materials from the website so that you're familiar with the test, but it's not a test that's testing your knowledge of the law. That will obviously be taught on the degree programme. So moving on then. For some students who offer qualifications that aren't that, we don't see that often, so overseas qualifications, or for qualifications where they're mainly assessed via coursework rather than examinations, so for instance, something like a BTEC, we still do accept these, but we may ask that you take our undergraduate admissions assessment prior to being made an offer. So that's a test that you can either do at LSE or in your school or college, and that's taken in March, and then we would base our decisions on that test as well. So for those of you that might affect, you can obviously speak to us about that. And for anybody in here who's a mature applicant, we do recommend that people have academic study within the last 3 years and that it's relevant to the programme that you're interested in. But that doesn't mean that you need to have 3 full A levels. It might be that you did the majority of your qualifications a little while ago and we just want something to show that your study skills are still up to date. So do come and speak to us if you're applying when you haven't studied for more than 3 years, if you think that's necessary. Okay, so what do we look for then? We're obviously looking for the most competitive applications. What do we look for? So we might be looking at, or we will be looking at, your GCSE profile or any other qualifications that you already hold. So what did you get in your GCSEs, and how does that compare to other applicants? If you've taken AS levels, we'll look at the grades that you've got in those, and take that into consideration. If you've done another qualification early, so the extended project's a good example, some people do that in the first year of their studies, then we would look at the grade in that. We consider whether you're taking the qualifications on the first or if it's a second or subsequent attempt. We consider candidates offering retakes as being less competitive than candidates who are taking the qualifications for the first time, unless, of course, there are extenuating circumstances about why you perhaps didn't perform as well as you might have done the first time round. And if that's the case, then do let us know. I've mentioned about less competitive subject combinations already. So those are the sorts of things that we're looking for. We also really carefully look at the context in which those achievements were or will be made. So this is primarily for students who are home UK, so those educated and living in the UK. We will look at the educational context that those achievements were made. So we know from your UCAS form the name of the school or college that you went to do your GCSEs and where you're currently studying. And we can look at the average performance in that school for the year that you took your qualifications. So we'd be able to, for instance, see what the average grades were or how many students were getting 5 or more good passes at GCSE, including English and maths. And then we'll compare your performance to that of other people in your school or college, because we're aware that there are some schools out there where the majority of the students do extremely well in terms of grades achieved, ending up with the highest grades, and that's quite typical for that school, whereas there are other schools where a slightly lower academic performance might be truly exceptional for the context of that school. So we look at that and how you might have performed for the context of your school. We also look at how likely people are from the area of your home postcode are to progress to university, so the university participation by postcode. So there's data available that's available to all universities that looks at how likely people are from a particular postcode to progress to university. And areas are classified by number. So if you live in a polar 1 area, they're the postcodes which... where the 20% of postcodes which are where young people are least likely to go to university, right up to polar 5 areas, which is the top 20% of postcodes where people are most likely to go to university. When considering applications, we make sure that we are considering students fairly who live in low participation areas to make sure that they are represented well at higher education. And then we also look at personal circumstances as well. So have you ever been in local authority care? Are you a carer for a family member? Have you taken part in any LSE widening participation programmes? Were there any extenuating circumstances that might have affected or might be going to affect your academic performance? Obviously, that information you would need to tell us either via your personal statement or in your reference, or you can write to us after you've applied. But we can only use that information if it is given to us. So if you think that there's any circumstances beyond your control that might be might have affected your performance, do let us know, because then we can take it into account when either thinking of making you an offer or when confirming your offers if you are an offer holder. So the reference then. We require an academic reference, so that's typically from somebody in your school or college. And it's really useful as well if they can give some brief information about the school and the qualifications offered, because that helps as well to give a context to your achievements. So if certain subjects weren't offered, or you couldn't do subjects for certain reasons, or if there were staffing issues in some subjects, for instance, that made higher achievement a bit more tricky, if you can tell us that information, we can take it into account. Your referee is the person who provides your predicted grades. So obviously have a useful conversation with them to find out that you definitely know what you're going to be predicted, so you can apply to universities who are going to be offering courses which meet your academic requirements. And they can also give like relevant contextual information, like I mentioned, about your personal circumstances. Because you don't have that much space in your personal statement as well, it's really useful if your referee can provide information about the skills, qualities and personal characteristics that you have that make you suitable for the programme you're applying for. They can mention any academic achievement or awards that you might have won, and they can provide some rationale to explain why they're predicting you certain grades. And that's really useful now, especially as lots of people aren't taking the AS qualifications. It's really useful to know how teachers are basing their predicted grades. And it's also really useful if they can mention any extracurricular activities and achievements, especially if you don't have room to include those in your personal statement, but you want us to note them. And then sometimes your referee can add a line or two in about anything that you've done that's beyond the norm for students in your school. Okay, so personal statement then. You obviously don't have a large control over what's in your reference. You can obviously chat to your referee, but they're going to write it independently. But your personal statement you do have complete control over. And as I've mentioned, we're a competitive institution, and so we make a large number of decisions based on the personal statement. And we also reject students on the basis of their personal statements not being as compelling or not being as competitive as other applicants. So it is really important that your personal statement is as good as you can make it, because we do use it to distinguish between the large number of applicants that we receive who are all predicted the same grades, our entry requirements or higher. You only have 4,000 characters, including spaces and all the punctuation, so 43 lines. So you really need to make sure your personal statement is focused throughout. As a minimum, we would recommend that at least 75 to 80% of your personal statement is focused on the academic subject that you want to study here at the LSE and your enthusiasm and your motivation for that decision. And it can be even more than that. That should really be the basis of your whole personal statement. Remember, you're applying for a place on a course. It's not just a document all about yourselves. You may not be able to include absolutely everything you've done outside of school, but if you want your personal statement to be really focused on the subject that you're applying for. We don't interview at the LSE, so this is our one snapshot into your sort of motivators, your enthusiasms, what you're interested in. So it's really important that it's concise, coherent, that it's well written, that it doesn't contain any errors. It obviously needs to be your work and original to you. So as all of our applicants apply through UCAS, UCAS has a system for detecting plagiarism. So it compares your personal statement with all other personal statements received that year and every other year. and also compares your personal statement to all published information, whether that's books or stuff from the internet. And unfortunately, every year we do receive notification from UCAS that candidates have plagiarised certain parts of their personal statement, not necessarily the whole bit, but certain paragraphs. And because of the competitive nature of our programmes, we do always have to reject those candidates. So do make sure that you're not plagiarising anybody else's work, but that you're also not sharing your personal statement with other people who might be lifting parts of it, because we wouldn't be able to know who it was that wrote the paragraph. We would have to treat everybody the same. You want to demonstrate that you're a good fit for the course, so that you're suitable for coming to the LSE to study the particular course, and obviously demonstrate enthusiasm in the subject. And I'll go into those areas in a little bit more detail now. Oh, sorry. It's also worth noting, I'm sure lots of you know already, you can only use one personal statement for all of your up to five choices that you can make via UCAS. So therefore, it is easier to write a compelling and a convincing personal statement if either you're applying for all the same courses at your different universities or very similar ones. It would be quite challenging for even the most studious and academic student to write a really convincing personal statement where they're applying for law at the LSE, medicine somewhere else, engineering somewhere else, history somewhere else. It would be very difficult to write something that was equally convincing for all of those programmes. So do take into consideration all the different programmes that you're applying for. Okay, so some do's and don'ts. So do research the courses carefully and make sure that you show that you are a good fit for the course. So as an example, we offer a history course here at the LSE, as lots of other universities do. Our history, though, is focused on modern history and has an international outlook. So if you're interested in studying British medieval history, then we're not the institution for you. And it would become very apparent if you were talking about that sort of history in your personal statement that we weren't going to be a good place for you to study, because you probably wouldn't enjoy the degree course here as much as other people. So do make sure that you've done your research and that you know what's covered. Another example is our geography degree here at the LSE. Again, another popular choice. Our geography degrees focus primarily on human geography, whereas at other universities they do more physical geography or combinations of the two. So do make sure that you know the sort of degree course that you're applying for, because one, you want to make sure that you're using your UCAS choices to apply for the right programmes for you, that you're not just applying to what you consider good courses or things like that you know what you're applying for. And it's also going to make your application more competitive. Do make sure that you discuss all of the subjects that you're applying for. And that's really important if you're applying for joint honours, so two subjects studied as part of a degree. So, for instance, we offer a politics and philosophy programme as an example. We would expect competitive applications for that programme to spend equal amounts of their personal statement talking about politics and philosophy. That doesn't mean that you necessarily need two paragraphs. This is my politics paragraph and this is my philosophy one. Some of the most able candidates are able to weave the two disciplines together, but we would expect an equal balance of both subjects because it is a joint honours course and you're going to be spending 50% of the time on each subject. So do make sure that if you're applying for joint honours that you talk about both subjects evenly to convince us that you've got interest in both aspects of the programme. As I've mentioned, work with your referee. So if there's anything that you really want to include but you just don't have the space, so for instance, perhaps you've got a role of responsibility like a prefect or a head boy or head girl in your school, or you've taken part in a debating competition or anything like that, sports. If you think it's relevant but really you just don't have room for it because it doesn't really demonstrate why you want to study the course, don't feel that you have to include absolutely everything that you've ever done since the age of five. Be specific about what you want to talk about in detail. And then if there's other things that you maybe just want a mention of, do ask your referee if they could just include a line to say, and this person has done this beyond the curriculum or something like that. We're looking for students who are going to be excellent students if they come here. So we want students who are interested in the subject that they are going to be taught, but they are also going to be interesting to teach. So they're going to take part in debates, they're going to turn up to classes, they're going to be engaged in lively discussion, they're going to want to take part in presentations and all of the sorts of things that we expect a good academic student to do. And you can start demonstrating that you have those qualities right from writing your personal statement. So we're looking for students who go above and beyond and aren't just relying on their A-levels or their current studies to provide them with the information that they need. So we're looking for students who can demonstrate academic engagement beyond the curriculum. So are there any articles that you've read in newspapers or online? Any books? Have you downloaded any podcasts or seen any TED Talks or watched a documentary on something related to the subject that you're interested in? If you have, brilliant. But we don't just want you to say that you've done it and tell us what you've seen or read or heard. We want you to talk about it, give your opinions on it. Did you agree with it? Can you critically analyse it? Did it disagree with some other things that you heard? Those are the sorts of ways that we want you, or we want the best candidates, to engage with the subject rather than just telling us about the book and what they've read, because we can find the book and we can read it ourselves. But we want to know what you've thought, how you've interpreted it, what you've got out of it, whether you think it's important or not. Those sorts of things will really demonstrate that you've got the skills that we're looking for in students here at the LSE. So explain things, analyse and critique things, and give us your opinions. That's really useful, okay? So don't just rely on regurgitating information. So a few don'ts as well. So we've covered some of these, but don't assume, like I've mentioned, that all university courses you're applying to are the same. So economics here at the LSE may be quite different to other places. You don't have a lot of space. We've mentioned that already. So don't waste space telling us the name of the school that you go to or what grades you're predicted for different subjects. That information is already captured elsewhere on the UCAS form, so you don't need to include it in your personal statement. Just focus on telling us about your motivation and enthusiasm for studying the subject. We'd obviously love to read lots of personal statements where you're telling us that you're really passionate about going to the LSE. That would be lovely for us to read. But obviously, as I mentioned earlier, you get one personal statement that goes to all five of your choices. So whilst we might like to see that, the other four choices might think that perhaps you weren't really keen on studying there and be less likely to make you an offer. And the same works for us. If you tell us the name of another university that you really want to go to, we'll obviously think that you're not really committed to studying at the LSE. So don't go over the top in praising one university or stating that you want to go to one university and study in a course there. You can obviously mention that if you've taken part in taster days at other universities or you've been to lectures here at the LSE, that's fine. And you can say that you've done those things, but avoid stating a preference for one university over the other, because we can't see where else you've applied. So all the applications that we receive, we only know that you've applied to us. So unless you obviously don't want to necessarily state the other universities that you're applying to in your personal statement. You don't need to, or we advise you against using too many quotes in your personal statement, and that's because we want to know what you think about something. Like I mentioned, we can read the book as well, but you can obviously refer to things that you've read, but you don't need to waste some of your precious characters quoting bits out of the book and stuff like that, or things, out of speeches. Just include your voice and your opinions. And try to be a little bit unique. You don't need to be crazy or zany. It's obviously an academic document, but we get a lot of applications that start with, "Ever since I was born, I've always wanted to study politics." And that doesn't really sit true, because probably when you were born, there were other things that were more on your mind, like sleeping and eating and stuff like that. And we're more interested in why you want to study that subject now. So it might only be that you've developed an interest in a subject in recent years. That doesn't matter. We don't need to know that you've always been passionate about law since you were in primary school. But why are you interested in it now? What has made you want to apply to this subject? What is it about the degree subject that really interests you? Try not to use cliches and things that lots of other people are going to be saying. We want to hear your voice and your thoughts and opinions. Like I've mentioned, we're not able to interview you, so this is our one chance to get to know you and what really motivates you. There is obviously, I could talk for a long time on personal statements, and often it's the thing that people want to know the most about. So if you've got a particular question, you can come and speak to us in the library after this talk. or there is a lot of information on our website. Do have a look at our website and our guidance for writing a personal statement. That's really useful and it's a good tip just before you come to write it. We've also got webinars that you can listen to, so things that you can download and just play from your computer or your phone, where you've got people from our team talking about personal statements and going over some of the main hints and tips. You can look on our website as well. We've got virtual open days where you can see other people giving this talk if you want to find out similar information. But there is a lot of information out there. In our prospectus, for each subject that we offer, we have a list of suggested reading. So if you really don't know where to start with going above and beyond the curriculum, because perhaps you want to study a subject that you don't even study at school yet, you're looking for some sort of pointers, then have a look at those. You don't need to mention them in your personal statement, but they're good starters. And they can also just be really useful for you to find out if you like doing further reading on politics or philosophy or law. If you find those texts interesting, then that can be a really good insight into whether you'll like studying that subject at degree level. Because if you find it dull or boring, then perhaps it's not quite the right subject for you. So just very briefly to finish off then, the assessment process. So how does it work? So we obviously receive a large number of applications and we can't make offers to absolutely everybody who's got the predicted grades that we ask for. So we sort of have three stages of the process. So when we receive the forms, we look over them and make an initial assessment. The people that are rejected at that stage are people perhaps who aren't predicted the right grades or who haven't got the required subject. So for instance, they're missing a required A-level subject that we asked for, or perhaps their personal statement is really not focused at all on the subject that they want to apply for. If you pass through, then you'll go into further consideration where we're looking at much more detail at your personal statement, your referee, the contextual information in which you've achieved your qualifications. And then for some applicants, we can make an offer or a rejection at that stage. And then finally, you might be considered for competitive consideration where we're looking a lot more closely at the applications. And I'll talk really briefly about that. So you must apply by the 15th of January for in 2019 if you're applying for 2019 entry. We don't consider any late applications. And this competitive consideration, this is what we call the gathered field. So because we want to be fair to all applicants and we give equal consideration to all applicants who apply before the 15th of January, we might hold on to some applications that we receive early and consider them with later applications to make sure that we're applying the same consistent standards to all students. So sometimes we can make decisions very quickly, but more typically we make decisions in typically around 12 weeks. So it obviously can feel like a long time, but it's not that we're dragging our heels or we haven't checked your form yet from the UCAS server. We will be looking at them in conjunction with all or lots of other people who are offering perhaps the same qualifications as you are, applying for the same programme, and comparing your application with them to make sure that we select those applicants who are the most competitive. We'll keep you updated at all stages of the process, so you'll get regular email updates to tell you whether you've passed the initial assessment, whether you're being further assessed, or whether you're part of the gathered field, the competitive consideration. So we will keep you up to date, but if you have any questions once you have decided to apply to us, if you're going to, then you can always contact us by phone or by email just to check on the status. But we do try and keep you updated, but please be patient. We look at everything really carefully, and it can take us a bit of time, a lot longer than other universities, due to the number of applications that we receive and how carefully we go through them. Regardless of when you apply, all candidates will have received their decision from us by the 31st of March. So whether that's an offer or a rejection, you will receive a decision by the 31st of March, and that's our commitment to you so that you can reply promptly through UCAS to all your choices. So what happens next then? So just last few points. We do welcome applications for deferred entry. You need to obviously either state that on your UCAS form or contact us after you've applied. And if you don't apply for deferred entry and then request it, we can't always accommodate it. So make sure you're aware of that. You must apply for the programme that you want to study here. We in the undergraduate admissions team don't consider any programme transfers. The only way you can transfer is once you've started here and by approval from both academic departments, so the one that you want to leave and the one that you want to join. And then it will be done only if there is space. And as we're a competitive institution and we fill our spaces, it's not likely that we can accommodate all transfer requests. So make sure you are applying to the programme that you want to study here. We don't enter adjustment or clearing, so we don't have extra places available in August after results. So if you missed out, you would have to apply again the next year if you wanted to. Hopefully, if you do decide to apply to us, you'll get your offer, then you'll get your exam results and you'll meet the terms of our offer and everything will be great. But every year there are a few students who we class as marginal fails. So they've missed the terms of their offer by perhaps one grade. So we asked for AAA and they got AAB. What we do in those instances then is we confirm everybody's place who has met the terms of their offer, and then we look at how many places we have available. Sometimes we have no places available, but if we do have some, then we will look through and decide whether we can make anybody, we can confirm anybody's offer. So we would obviously start with students who'd had extenuating circumstances, so a reason for their slightly below required performance, and then we would look at students with more challenging contexts, and then all other students. So make sure it's really important, even if you know, you don't feel that any extenuating circumstances have affected you, that you let us know so that we've got that information ready for A-level results or whatever results you're taking. If you've got questions about your fee status, so whether you'll be classified as home, EU or overseas, you can check that out on the UKESA website. And regarding that, for students from the EU for 2019 entry, the government has confirmed that you'll be charged the same fees as home students, which is £9,250 for the duration of your studies, and your loan eligibility has been confirmed as well. Obviously, due to this nature of Brexit, we're not able to make that commitment for students applying for 2020 entry yet. That's something that the government will decide, and that will be the same for all universities, I imagine. So do speak to us at a later date if you need confirmation on that. Like I've mentioned, if you want any further information or you want to come and speak to either me or one of my colleagues, straight after this talk I'm going into the library to the admission stand. You're welcome to come there if you've got any particular questions, or we've got loads of information on our website. I hope that's covered at least some of the information that you need to know. It's been great talking to you this afternoon, and hopefully I've answered some points that need a clarification, and I might speak to some of you later. Have a lovely rest of the day.